Thank you for that, and appreciate you going to the Lord in prayer with me on behalf of others, and invited to volunteer to help us. If you're not going to go to a job site, we do food all day long for everybody that's working. Diane O'Neill, who was at the door this morning welcoming you as you came in, heads up our kitchen. You can help in the kitchen. You can set up. You can make food. One of the things is we're also going to be doing a prayer team. So if you're not planning on going out and doing any work that day, if you can just sit with one of the residents, some of them are members of our church that we're working at their house, members of Bethesda EC Church or community neighbor members, or could like to just go and say, hey, how can I pray for you, and pray with them that day, you can sign up for that and just let us know, because we believe that prayer is an important part of everything that we do. And I'll remind us of that as we talk about this story of discipleship. Now, we were in the Old Testament to start this, and now we're going to finish out here in the New Testament before we get to our church left the building service day. I'm going to be in Nepal in October, so I won't be here October 20th. Dee, who works with me with the Global Ministries community, that's my other job. I've got two jobs, in case you didn't know. She's going to come and share about what we're doing at the GMC while I'm in Nepal. And then our last Sunday of October, we call Friendship Sunday. It's one service. We'll all be together. We'll have lunch together. And we kind of celebrate what God's doing in the lives of people at our church that day. So we'll hear from people, have opportunity to praise God through the work that he's doing in making disciples. So as we kind of move through September into October, we're sticking with this idea, this series of discipleship, and we're going to do that through a story with Paul and Timothy. Now, if you've read the Bible, the New Testament, you will be introduced to Paul pretty early on when Jesus ascends, leaves the scene, we get into the book of Acts, and shortly after we get in the book of Acts, we're introduced to a guy named Saul. God changes his life, and he gets the name Paul, kind of like this new identity. Saul was a different kind of guy than Paul was. And so then Acts and the rest of the New Testament, a lot of it, not solely all Paul, but Paul is a feature person in it. And he has a very powerful come-to-Jesus story on the road to Damascus. But Paul is in the process of doing what Jesus called him to do, and that is spread the good news and make disciples. So we're going to learn about Timothy. And Timothy was a guy that lived in, before I get there, a guy that lived in a town called Lystra. And Paul met him there, but I specifically want to use Timothy and Paul's relationship instead of Jesus and the disciples, because Timothy, like you and me, we didn't hang out with Jesus. And maybe he did appear to you like he did to Paul. He didn't to me. Paul was smacked off of his donkey on his way to Damascus by Jesus, the resurrected Christ, and Jesus called him to his missionary service. What we see about Timothy, just a regular guy living in a town, the gospel's preached in that town, he's like, yes, I want to give my life to Christ. And he begins following Jesus. So Timothy's kind of like us. And Timothy's going to give us a picture of what discipleship is all about. So we can maybe identify a little bit better with him than Peter, James, and John. And, you know, the guys walking around with Jesus, of course. They're the 12 apostles. They got to spend time with God in flesh, the Messiah. Well, Timothy didn't. Timothy kind of came to Christ after Jesus was gone, ascended, through a pastor coming to, an evangelist coming to his town. And now he's got to figure out what does it look like to follow Jesus. So that's where we're at. Timothy is kind of the bridge between the apostles in their lives and what the church and Christians look like following the conclusion of the New Testament. Because Timothy is living that out when those guys are starting to pass away. He's the next generation. He's the guy receiving the baton from all these superstars that spent time with Jesus. So Timothy's kind of like us, hearing the gospel, giving our life to Christ, What does it look like to be a disciple? So this next number of Sundays is simply a story of discipleship. And what we're going to see, you learned these three words. I introduced you to them September 8th. I tested you on them on September 15th, and you did pretty well. You got an A. I give you an A. Now I'm just going to give them to you. And you're going to hear these a lot because it's really what our playbook is. We want to be intentional about discipleship. We're going to see that happening with Paul and Timothy. It's got to be something that we're just not like every now and then kind of thing. It's got to be immersive in some kind of way. We're going to see that. And it's got to focus on specific instruction. Now, we talked about the fact that disciples are being made all over the place. Discipleship isn't just a Christian thing. And we use the Old Testament to highlight that. However, we're going to bring it now into the church, into the scriptures, and specifically talk about Christian discipleship. These three things are needed, and this is what Jesus did. This is what Paul and Timothy are going to do to make disciples. And that's what we're concerned about. I want to show you how why that's important in just a second. It's something you see all the time, everywhere, even out in town. So we're introduced to Timothy. Paul did a missionary journey to Timothy's town. He showed up in his town one day, preached the gospel. That's like Acts 13, maybe. Acts 13, 14, something like that. Showed up in Timothy's town, and Timothy and apparently his mom got saved. So Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple, we see that word, I wonder what that means. What does it mean? A disciple named Timothy lived. So now we're introduced to Timothy, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. Now, the text seems to indicate, scholars say, they're using a past tense with Timothy's father, so it's likely Timothy's father has passed. Timothy's mom is probably a widow who was Jewish. His father was Greek. So you would assume the father's religion, whatever that looked like, as a Greek. The Greek gods, all that kind of stuff. That was Timothy's dad, but his mom was Jewish. So he had both of that. When Paul came to his town, preached the gospel, and apparently the two of them got saved. So he gives his life to Christ. Not having grown up in a Christian church, it says somehow we know that Timothy was a disciple. So what does that mean? So before we get into what discipleship is, maybe we should identify and define what a disciple is, specifically talking about followers of Jesus in the Christian church. So here's an exercise. I need class participation for this, and I need you not to smack somebody when I tell you what I need you to do. So don't do it yet. You're all going to close your eyes. And when after you close your eyes, I'm going to tell you to point north. And so you just point, put your arm out. Again, if you got to do this, don't like smack somebody in the face while you're doing it. When I say point north, I want you to just point. Whatever direction you think is north, you point that way, okay? And then I'm going to have you open your eyes, but keep your hand up because I want you to look around and see where everybody's pointing, okay? So close your eyes. See how many of you trust me? Some of you don't trust me, apparently. Your eyes aren't closed. Close your eyes. I'm not doing anything. Now, point in the direction you think is north. Point where you think is north. Okay, everybody have a direction where you think is north. Point north. Now, keep your arms straight out or side to side, whichever way, and open your eyes and now look around. Okay, so some of you are pointing in the right direction. Some of you are pointing in the wrong direction, depending on, I had to do this in a town I was not familiar with, so we had no clue. I think I did this in Nashville or something. Some of you grew up in Haven or in the area and you know north. That's okay, but some of you didn't, or some of you just don't have a good sense of direction and you're going to be running into stuff. But you were all in, some of you were going in the right direction, but others were pointing different ways. I don't think anybody went like that. But that is west, that is north in this direction, that is south, and that is east. If you come to Grace Church, we always call this the west wing where all the classrooms are. So depending on where you're pointing, and I told you, okay, now walk outside and walk north, hopefully you'd all find the right way to go. And some of you would just start, they seem like they know where they're going, so I'm going to follow them. But you all might go a different direction. If I gave you a note card and said, write down your definition of discipleship, and I collected all your note cards, we probably would have, I don't know how many of you are here, 80 of you, 90 of you, I don't know. We probably have 90 different definitions of what a disciple is. So I want to share with you how we are going to define disciple. It's very simple. It's easy to follow. It's easy to wrap our minds around. I think it's pretty consistent with lots of other definitions of discipleship. I think it's what we're actually going to see in the New Testament with Jesus. So this definition was, it's not original with me. It was given, and I found it off of an excellent scholar. You might know her. Her name is Rosanne Chisakis. She's sitting right back there. She can do autographs later. I don't know. This is Roseanne's definition for discipleship. I did this with our ministry council, our leadership team, and asked everybody to write down their definition of discipleship. And mine was garbage compared to what Roseanne wrote down. So I kept Roseanne's. And it's simple. Someone who follows another, okay, we're specifically talking about Jesus, discipleship, Christian discipleship. Someone who follows another, learns from them, okay, we see that happening all over the place in the New Testament, adopts their beliefs. We still see that happening. Jesus is gone. Peter, James, John, all the disciples apparently have adopted what Jesus taught them because they're spreading it all over Jerusalem. And the book of Acts is all about spreading those beliefs all over the world. And they are trying to model themselves, their life, off of Jesus. That's what a disciple is. We're simply saying, you need to make that decision to follow Jesus. I can't make it for you. You have to make that. I can't make that for my children. They have to make that. That friend of yours that you wish would just follow Jesus, you want to slap in the head and say, what's wrong with you? You could slap them silly. They're still not going to do it. They have to do it. Peter and Andrew had to let the nets go when Jesus said, hey, come follow me. They had to make that decision. So there's this level of you personally getting involved in some way in making this decision to follow Jesus. And that following then equals learning about him and adopting his beliefs. What do you think we're doing every Sunday? In every Bible study we do, in our MomCo, in our life groups, in our emphasis we had on prayer in July, all the different stuff. We want you to learn about who Jesus is so that you adopt his beliefs and model your life after him. That is the point of discipleship. That is the point of the church. And so you see this happening all over the New Testament, and specifically, we're going to look at Paul doing this with Timothy, because we're like Timothy. We didn't walk around with Jesus like Peter and James, John, Andrew, and those guys. Somebody told us about Jesus, just like Paul told Timothy. And we have to choose to follow him and be a disciple. And so here's this little story, verse 1 through 5, we're introduced to this young man named Timothy. Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra. That's the town Timothy grew up in, where a disciple named Timothy lived. Now, they must have had an idea what disciple meant, because that's how Luke, who's the author of this, is identifying Timothy, whose mother was Jewish and was a believer, but his father was Greek. So now we got a little bit of background about Timothy. He didn't grow up in the church. He didn't grow up believing in Jesus. He didn't grow up actually probably in the Jewish synagogue, though his mom might have taken him. He had his father's religion, but he would have had some kind of training in it. So I don't know where all you came from. Maybe you didn't grow up going to church either. That's okay. You can still be a disciple of Jesus. The believers in Lystra, so the church there, in Iconium, that was another town area, spoke well of him. They spoke well of Timothy. So something in Timothy's life must have signified that he heard Paul preach the gospel He gave his life to Christ. He was trying to learn what that means, and apparently he was adopting those beliefs because people were seeing something in Timothy's life. There was evidence in Timothy's life that he was different. They spoke well of him in terms of who he was as a disciple. And so Paul wanted to take him along on the journey. This is Paul's second missionary journey. It wasn't just Paul. Luke, who's the author, was with them. It says Silas was with them. And if you read Paul's second missionary journey, people come and go. But at least those four guys were together pretty often. So he circumcised him. He was not circumcised, even though his mom was Jewish. The Jews would have viewed Timothy as a Jew. But because he took his father's religion, that's just what you did, he was never circumcised. So Timothy got circumcised because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was Greek. Paul knew. It wasn't nets that he was asking, Jesus was calling Timothy to let go of. He had to give something up there. I'm not going to go into what circumcision is all about. Fortunately, that's not something that when you become a Christian, you have to do. Read Galatians, and that's Paul's whole point about that. But there was a level of ministry that could not happen with Paul and Timothy. So again, Timothy's commitment to this discipleship thing took him sacrificing for the sake of the gospel. That's what that is. That's what that means. So that he could go with Paul and do this missionary journey. They traveled from town to town. There were some things that the disciples said back in Acts 15 that they were delivering to different churches from the elders in Jerusalem. That's where the headquartered church was. And so they went town to town, Paul, Silas, Timothy, Luke. And they went to different churches, strengthened them, and the church kept on growing and growing. And so we're going to fast forward, and I'll get there in just a minute. The church kept on growing so much so that Timothy had to go to a city called Ephesus, and Paul left him there to make disciples. But that's after an extended period of time with Paul. And so here's what I want us to think about when we talk about discipleship. You see, if you walk in here every Sunday morning, you see this little logo on the screen, as you do right now behind me. We run different times grace gear, and people are walking around in shirts and sweatshirts and all that kind of stuff with this little logo. And usually every summer we say, hey, where's your grace gear gone? And we ask you to take pictures of where your grace gear has gone. We have grace gear in Ecuador. Thanks, Roxy, for sporting that in Ecuador. I was at Mount Fuji in Japan and had some grace gear on. Perry County Gun Club, there was some grace gear on. Thanks, Vince, for all that. Everywhere we go, there's some of this. And here's what I want us to do with what is being conveyed here. If somebody asked you, okay, that's a nice shirt. I passed like, 10 churches coming to your church. What's your church all about? I want you to be able to say, well, this is what our church is all about. And these little, this little tagline, Christ Church Community, I want it to be more than a word. And so we're going to give some meat to Christ Church Community. And when someone asks you the question, well, what's Grace EC Church all about? You're going to be able to easily tell them what Grace Church is all about, because that little Christ Church Community is going to be like that little trigger in your mind to say, well, this is what this means, this is what this means, and this is what this means. And that little emblem, that little logo that we have, those four people kind of linked together, is conveying something important. And it all has to do with Paul and Timothy. Because this is what I see happening, and this is what we're emphasizing with these words. Now, we do a lot as Grace Church. So this coming Saturday is Borough Day, the event of events in Schuylkill Haven. If you haven't been, you should go to Borough Day and gorge yourself on fried food and then ask for forgiveness for gluttony later. Well, I'm not getting into that today. But we're going to do Borough Day. If you want to help out, there's a sign up there. You can help us out at Borough Day. If you can't, that's fine. Come say hi. We're going to be on Parkway and the centerpiece there doing some kids' games. That's one of the many things we do as Grace EC Church. Because of Borough Day, we don't have men's breakfast this Saturday. We usually do the last Saturday of the month, we usually do a men's breakfast here at the church. We're not going to do that this Saturday because of Borough Day. But we do that as a church. We do Momco as a church. We do lots of stuff as Grace Church. So if someone asks you, well, what's your church all about? You could probably list about a million things. But what I want you to be able to say about what our church is all about are these three words, Christ, Church, Community. Because what we have to be about is discipleship. And if our church gets too focused on the stuff that's good, it's not bad, on the stuff that happens, but we don't focus on discipleship, we're not doing something right. And so in order to create a discipleship culture, we've got to be intentional about focusing on it. Hence the reason for all these messages. And coming in January, February, we're going to give you an opportunity to be intentional about it. That gives you an immersive kind of experience with other people with some focused instruction, material that you're going to work through, that you have the opportunity to work through. You don't have to do it. We're going to give you the opportunity to work through it. But when you see this shirt walking around town, when you see this logo every Sunday you come here, I want you to understand this is who we are. This is what we're about. And so we're going to focus on that first word that says Christ. And the way we're going to do that is just by seeing Timothy's life. Now, this is a letter Paul wrote to Timothy. We're going to use 1 and 2 Timothy the next couple of weeks to kind of highlight this. But this is a letter Paul wrote to Timothy. And this is what he says in it. Now, Timothy is in a different city. He's not with Paul. They had spent a lot of time together. And Paul was releasing him. All right, we've been together long enough. Now it's your turn to go and make disciples. That's what Timothy's supposed to do in the city of Ephesus. And so he's dealing with a lot of different stuff, the same kind of stuff you deal with at churches, the same kind of stuff you deal with in cultures that don't believe in Jesus, Timothy's having to deal with. Now, these are Paul's words to Timothy personally. But you, man of God, he's talking to Timothy now, not to the church, not to everybody. This is a letter to him. Flee from this. You got to read the rest of the letter to know what from this is. Remember that as you are striving to live this life of righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness, and as you are fighting the good fight. So when you see Grace Church, Grace EC Church, Christ Church Community, that first word, Christ, is conveying something that's extremely important to discipleship, and that is your personal walk with Jesus. Now, we did some things to focus on that. In July, we did a month-long thing of prayer because it's important that you personally, we do it together a lot, but that you personally have a prayer life. Personal discipleship apparently is still important as Timothy, who has been trained by Paul, is now in Ephesus, but Paul still tells him, your personal walk with Jesus is extremely and vitally important to you making disciples in that town, in the city of Ephesus. And what we find is that discipleship and my personal discipleship is still done in community. So when Paul gets to Lystra, the town Timothy grew up in, and they see in Timothy, man, God's doing something in your life, go over to this place by yourself and just start preaching the gospel and bringing people to Jesus and discipling them. That's not what happens. Paul says, hey, Timothy, I see God working in your life. Let's go on a journey together. So Paul, Silas, Timothy, Luke, they're all hanging out together on this journey doing missions. Timothy dropped some things that he was doing, left his hometown. He had to give something up to follow Jesus. He started learning from Paul. You know, everywhere he went, he's learning all about what Jesus is all about. Apparently, he's adopting these beliefs to the point where Paul drops him in a different city and says, okay, now you do it. Discipleship is done in community. So those four people that you see on our shirt, that are kind of connected. The reason that that is the way it is because we don't make disciples by ourselves. My job is not to go make disciples apart from all of you. It's to lock arms together and do it together. Paul, this amazing disciple of Jesus, he says, imitate me. That's what Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Jesus. So as Paul modeled his life off of Jesus, he's saying to Timothy, I need you to imitate the life I lived because I tried to model it off of Jesus. Now, Timothy, you model it off of me because you didn't walk around with Jesus. But Paul was even doing that in community. Paul didn't go from town to town to town and just preach the gospel and go do his thing. He went with Barnabas the first time to Timothy's town, and then he came with Silas, and Luke was along, and now Timothy's going along. So when I use the word personal discipleship, the image that you should get in your mind is you are going to begin a journey with other people while you're trying to get deeper with Jesus. So we don't have time to go into everything that Paul said in 1 Timothy, and so I am going to sum up what he told Timothy to pursue. He didn't say this to the church. He said, Timothy, you. He's looking at Timothy. Pursue holiness. You know, pursue righteousness, godliness, endurance, faith, love, gentleness. He's telling him to pursue holiness. He's telling him, be Christ-like. That matters. If we are going to make disciples who make disciples, your personal holiness, Ted's personal holiness, our Christ-likeness matters. Here's the question. Now, many of us don't think this way because we pale in comparison to Jesus. But I think Paul, who is taking the discipleship definition we have, which is model your life off of this person you've learned from and adopted their beliefs. Okay, that's what Paul did with Jesus. Now, Timothy's doing that with Paul. Okay, Timothy, you get to hang out with Paul, Silas, and Luke. Model your life off of what you've seen Paul do. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. Can you say to your friend, who maybe is a new believer, could you say to your children, imitate me as I imitate Christ? Can I tell my daughters, Lily and Leah, I want you to imitate me as I imitate Christ? Does that mean they have to be perfect? If they're imitating me, obviously not. Because I'm not perfect. But a disciple is modeling their life off of what they believe about who Jesus is and all they've learned from him. And so obviously my 10-year-old is going to hopefully learn from me what it means to follow Jesus. Now, if you've come to Christ later in life, maybe you're 50. You're still, I'm hoping, able to model your life off of what you see in my life. And it should obviously tell you, apparently I don't have to be perfect. Because Ted's not. But there's a level of Christ-likeness that I am praying. Because I'm reading this letter to Timothy like Paul wrote it to me. Ted, I need you to pursue godliness and righteousness. I need you to pursue love and endurance and gentleness as you fight this good fight. You need to be able to say to somebody, Ted, because they didn't walk around with Jesus, neither did I. What would it look like? Imitate me as I imitate Christ. Your personal walk with the Lord matters. When you see that word Christ, church, community, that first word is about you and Jesus. But when I say you and Jesus, you got to think of other people because you don't do it in isolation. You do it as community. To fight the good fight, I'm adopting beliefs. There are things I believe because of what the scriptures say. Now, Timothy did not have the New Testament. They're writing the New Testament as Timothy is alive. And Paul's telling Timothy to fight the good fight. Everything I taught you, Timothy, when we were together these last number of years, and Timothy and Paul's relationship probably spanned a decade, Now, Timothy was in Ephesus before that, but Timothy knew what Paul believed. He knew how Paul took the Old Testament and helped Timothy understand how this points to Jesus, and then what it means to turn from sin and put your faith and trust in Christ. And now Timothy's adopting that belief. And because he believes those things, read the first letter that Paul wrote to Timothy. He's got some fights in front of him. There are people telling him things about the gospel that are clearly wrong, and Paul even names a few names that are opposed to Timothy. There is a fight happening. And so Paul says, Timothy, this is part of discipleship. You've got to fight that good fight wherever God's planting you. And for Timothy, it was Ephesus. For Ted, it's in Schuylkill Haven. For you, I'm not sure where it is. It could be your work, your own family. But being biblically grounded is essential to discipleship. If you are not in your Bible, you are not going to be growing as a disciple. That's just the way it is. That's the immersion piece of things. Timothy was learning about Jesus off of what he saw in Paul's life and what Paul taught him. And he was immersed in it because they went everywhere together. But now we don't have that. We don't have Paul walking around with us. We don't have Timothy walking around with us. But we've got the things God wants us to know right here. And the point of discipleship is we've got a women's Bible study starting in October, men's Bible study that meets, life groups that happen throughout the week, MomCo that happens, connection groups that happen. All of it is so that we are biblically grounded. I can't make you be biblically grounded. It's something you've got to do. It's something, I can't read the Bible for you. It's something you've got to do. There's a level of personal commitment that happens with creating a discipleship culture. And Paul told Timothy that there would be this ongoing transformation. That's what he said. Remember you, when you made your confession of faith, you are different now. And God is taking you to a place where hopefully years from now you can see I'm different than I was before. I can look back to 2013 when I came to this church, and I can tell you I am different now than I was in 2013. And I hope that I am modeling Jesus better than I did in 2013. I preached a sermon series on sanctification, which is becoming more like Jesus. That's what discipleship is. That first word that says Christ, that's a challenge to each one of you. You've got to personally do that. You've got to make that decision. I can't make it for you. Your mom and dad can't make it for you. Your grandma and grandpa can't make it for you. Your friend can't make it for you. You personally have to decide to pursue a life of righteousness, godliness, holiness, everything that Paul is telling Timothy. We will not be able to make disciples if Ted doesn't take that personally in his own life. And me taking that personally actually links my arms with other people. And some of you, I've been trying to do that with. In discipleship groups that we've been a part of, my discipleship, me coming more like Jesus, actually has a lot to do with all of you. But it was something that I had to decide. That God just challenged me and convicted me. We can make church about a lot of stuff. I don't want to make it about a lot of stuff. I think we should still do good things. I think we should still bless our community. But there's a mission that Jesus has called us to. In your work, in your family, in this town, you're going to rub shoulders with people I will never talk to. Where are you with Jesus? Have you made that commitment? There is a level of denying self. Jesus says that in Mark chapter 8, verse 34. If you would follow after me, that's how it starts. It's got to start the following. You need to deny yourself and take up your cross. We've got to let go of our old life. Let go of those things we were clinging on to. We got to drop all of that. And we got to personally pursue Jesus. Discipleship becomes easier because we want to know him better. That's really what discipleship is all about. Imagine just being able to spend 5, 6 years, 3 years with Paul, traveling around with him. Imagine what that would have looked like. Imagine if you could just take your best friend and just for 3 years travel around together. Imagine what your relationship would be like. All we're saying is, you're doing that with Jesus. That Christ Church community, your personal discipleship matters. And it matters a great deal to whether or not we actually create a discipleship culture at Grace EC Church. And it matters a great deal in terms of my Jesus, the Jesus I know, can change your life. And if he hasn't, the question is, have you given him your life? Because he will transform you. And then just like Paul did with Timothy, Timothy grew up not in the church, not knowing Jesus. He reformed and shaped him. And now we see Timothy being planted in Ephesus, bringing people to Jesus, growing in his own walk with the Lord. The church has a mission. There's only one plan, plan A. Plan A for the redemption of the entire planet is the church. Go on mission with Jesus. For that to actually happen, we have to personally. It's got to be something Ted does. Pursue a life being transformed by Christ. Can you tell somebody, imitate me as I imitate Jesus? We should be able to do that. And that doesn't convey perfection. I should be able to tell my daughters, imitate me, so that when you grow up, you know what it means to follow Jesus. Can you say that to somebody? This decision has to be yours, and I invite you this morning to make that decision, to personally decide to pursue Jesus, to lay down all the things the world is throwing at you, and to start following him. To live a life of holiness where you can tell your friend, your child, your coworker, I know I'm not perfect, but I'm trying to live for Jesus, and hopefully you get a little picture of what Jesus is like by the way I live. When you see that word on Grace EC Church, Christ Church Community, that means you've personally decided to pursue a life transformed by Jesus. I invite you to do that this morning. It's got to be your decision. Nobody can make it for you. Let's pray together. Lord, as we realize, God, that our walk with Jesus and being transformed by him is a personal thing. It's something that we are all called to, Lord. God, I pray that as we talk and think about Grace EC Church, Lord, we do a lot of good things as a church. But the thing that we should be focusing on, Lord, is discipleship. And I, over time, have been convicted about not being as intentional as I should as the pastor of the church about that. And so, God, that's what this journey for me has been all about. And because I'm the pastor, I get to invite all these other people on this journey as well. So, Lord God, I pray that if somebody today needs to personally decide to begin pursuing Jesus in that way, Lord, that they would do that. And God, as we sing this last song, and as we, I hope, make it a prayer to make our heart yours, my heart yours, Lord, I can't do it for anybody else, and we can't do it for each other. It's got to be something we decide. Lord, I do pray that we would make this real in our life so that we might experience the transformation and really take that next step in this discipleship journey, wherein by you make us more like your Son, Jesus. And we experience a relationship with him that is unlike any other, that does indeed have the ability to transform our lives forever. I pray it in his name. Amen.